theaters September 13th.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lurie. Coming up today, we're going to hear some of the highlights of last night's town hall meeting on climate change, the meeting that featured the Democratic candidates for president. We'll talk about what they said, get your phone calls and input, too, about it later on. But first, one listener comment about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we got into a discussion about whether or not, under Democrats, the U.S. would turn socialist. Here's what one listener had to say.
I like to give an example of socialism. The FAA, let's say if we had two now-defunct airlines like Pan Am or Eastern, I believe, and they wanted to just fly their jets anywhere that they wanted to. No, we have an FAA which regulates where you fly your jets and where you cannot fly your jets. The national highway system that we have, that's a good way of socialism, that the federal government gives out funds to the various states and have highways regulated a certain way. That's a good example of socialism. Or if this nation were attacked by another nation, let's say New York and Massachusetts and Pennsylvania, they wanted to go and retaliate to win the war, but let's say Florida and Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia did not. No, we don't do that. We all collectively will join forces together to defeat that enemy that attacked this nation as a whole. And then, of course, you have the various fire departments and police departments. That's a good example of socialism.
Well, there you have a listener comment that came in after yesterday's program. Well, this is WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lurie. Thanks for tuning into Radioactivity today. We're going to hear some of the candidates from last night's town hall on climate change. As you know, the Democratic Party has said no to having all the candidates on stage debating climate change together. So last night on CNN, the candidates were given some airtime individually. They were actually given a lot of airtime. We're going to hear some sound bites from last night's debate and get your take on it. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. You can also comment by sending us an email to dj@wmnf.org. Let's listen to the candidates. We're going to start with Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. And here's one of the answers to a question that he took about climate change.
What's one question you would ask Donald Trump about climate change during a debate?
Wow. Look, I don't know that you can get to this president by asking him a question. I don't think you can get to him at all. And it's not just him. It's all of the enablers in the congressional GOP, right? I mean, this matters. And they need to know that they will be remembered for generations. You could argue that of all the horrible things that this president has done, the one that will most be remembered 50 or 100 years from now will have to do with the failure to act on climate. At least that's what it'll be like if this goes down in history as the time that we failed to get something done. I mean, Congress right now is like, it's like a room full of doctors arguing about what to do over a cancer patient. And half of them are arguing over whether medication or surgery is the best approach. And the other half are saying cancer doesn't exist. Think of what a disservice this is. This is a life or death issue. And the president, he's busy drawing with a Sharpie on a hurricane map. He's completely in a different reality than the rest of us. And the problem is we don't have the luxury of debating whether this is an issue. So I can't think of anything I could ask him other than, would you please step aside and allow us to do something about this issue? Because you're clearly not ready to leave.
Pete Buttigieg last night on the CNN town hall debate. We're going to hear most of the candidates who spoke, and we want to get your input on this. What do you think about what they raised? Buttigieg bringing up the issue of President Trump's map yesterday, in which he used a Sharpie to expand the course of Hurricane Dorian into territory that forecasters had not predicted it would go. He expanded the territory into Alabama. We might talk about that later on, too. but our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Let's listen to Andrew Yang, one of his answers to a climate change question. This is Andrew Yang, who is the West Coast entrepreneur.
We need to do much more. I'm the parent of two young boys, one of whom is autistic. And as a parent, when you have your kids drinking water or using various toys and household items, there's always something in the back of your mind, which is this safe? And I just came from Flint, and while this is a separate issue, it's kind of the same in the sense that the folks in Flint discovered that their water was toxic after the fact and are still recovering. So to me, safe drinking water is a fundamental human right, and that if you're an American, you should not be stressed out about the water that you are drinking and your kids are drinking. And this is, again, the problem with having the almighty dollar running our society, where people look up and say, oh, replacing the pipes is expensive, or, oh, another substance would be more expensive. Are you kidding me? You know what's expensive? Poisoning our kids.
Yes.
Andrew Yang, last night on the CNN town hall about climate change, and again, we're looking for your input. If you've got thoughts about what you might have saw if you watched it last night, or if you've heard a discussion about it on Democracy Now! Earlier today, or if you're listening right now and want to comment about the clips I'm playing, you can email us here in the studio at dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Sam and Valrico, who wants to talk about Trump and climate change. Sam, you're on. What would you like to comment about so far?
I am just so appalled by the liberal mockery of you all done towards our government. Our dear president, Mr. Donald Trump, is doing the best that he can in his battle of going towards climate change. Look what he's doing. He is right now helping out the people of the Bahamas. And here, time and time again, you wacko liberals are attacking our great president. He is doing the best thing he can to save our country when it comes to climate change.
And what's the number one, Sam, I'm glad you called. What's the number one thing that President Trump has done about climate change?
Look here. Look what he has done by appointing our governor to attack climate change right here on the state. And look what Governor Ron DeSantis is doing for our state.
Well, Ron
chose him to be the next governor of Florida.
You want
and look what?
What
happened.
I'm sorry, I missed the last thing you said.
Look what Ron DeSantis is doing for our state. He is attacking what is going on. He is addressing the issues in the Everglades. President Trump knew he would do a good job for our state. This is why he's our governor.
Yeah. And so President Trump and Ron DeSantis have a close relationship. Would you expect that Ron DeSantis will do anything about climate change in the upcoming session of the legislature?
I'm sure he will.
What do you think he'll do?
He would do a great job for our state. And we need to re-elect our great president.
And would it
Donald
be
Trump.
Sam, would it be helpful to throw out all the liberals? Do you think that would be a good first step?
If liberals have done nothing, liberals are opportunists. This is why none of those liberal wackos will never be president of the United States. Donald Trump will be president in 2020.
All right. And do you think, Sam, thanks a lot. Always, please call more often. All right. That's Sam and Valrico. 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. Let's listen to Senator Amy Klobuchar and one of her responses to a question about climate change at the town hall last night.
I recently visited a museum devoted to the home front during World War II. It was very inspiring. In just a few years, America achieved a massive industrial mobilization that was key to the Allies winning the war. It gave me hope that we could do the same thing now, but instead of building tanks, ships, and planes, we need to rapidly build a new clean energy infrastructure. What will you do to make this mobilization happen, and how will you persuade the American public to get on board?
That's a great question. And the president has a unique role here. And right now, I think you all know we have a guy in the White House that's pretending this isn't happening. And in fact, when I announced my candidacy in the middle of a blizzard in Minnesota with 4 inches of snow on my head, I talked about climate change immediately. And he actually tweeted out, making fun of me for doing that, and called me Snow Woman. So I wrote back, Donald Trump, the science is on my side when it comes to climate change, and I'd like to see how your hair would fare in a blizzard. So, what do we need to do? Well, let me tell you. In my first 100 days, and you can see this on my website at amyklobuchar.com, I put out a plan, because I think just like Franklin Delano Roosevelt, when you talk about the past, did with his first 100 days, we have to change the tone, and we have to do things that actually we can do without Congress, okay? Legally. And there are a number of things we can do. On day one, I will bring us back into that international climate change agreement. On day two, bring back the clean power rules that President Obama had worked on for so many years. You can do that without Congress. On day three, bring back the gas mileage standards, which we know the car companies in the U.S. are ready to meet anyway. On day four, five, and six, I will work on sweeping legislation with the mayors and with Congress and get that introduced. And on day seven, you're supposed to rest, but I don't think I will. So that's the first 7 days. And from there, you make this a top priority to get this passed. And then individual efforts, like Governor Inslee talks about so well. Things like even using cold water for your clothes saves 5 times the amount of energy. And you don't shrink your clothes, right? The light bulbs, you name it. So people, when you have a president that takes this on as a mission, you have to do the big things. And transfer and get out of fossil fuels and move to clean energy. But you also have to talk the talk to make this a mission so people also do the little thing.
All right, Amy Klobuchar, the senator from Minnesota there last night. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Bill Grace is our phone producer today. And we're going to go to Little D in St. Petersburg. Little D, is that you?
Yes, it sure is.
Hi, thank you for calling in. What would you like to say about the show so far?
I'd like to thank you for having the show, first of all, and for stepping the call. Just a friendly little rebuttal on that caller just a few moments ago about the wacko liberals.
Sam and Valrico, yeah.
Yeah. Tim, I'll tell you what our governor, Ron DeSantis, is doing for the state of Florida and what he's been not doing, his inaction, even as we speak today, is the fact that the Everglades, I was born and raised on Lake Okeechobee, literally born on that lake, learned to swim in that lake, can't swim in it today. Cannot swim in it today. Very, very sad. Angers me. Touches a nerve in me I didn't realize I had. But when it comes to climate change, if we start penalizing, shut down those darn sugar fields and those sugar factories down there to keep dumping all of their slime and their runoff into the beautiful Lake Okeechobee, that's what he's allowing to continuously happen. Continuously happen. There's my friendly rebuttal from a wacko liberal.
Okay. Little D, how beautiful was Lake Okeechobee when you were growing up?
It was awesome. I mean, you could nearly drink the water. Some of the most beautiful big mouth bass come out of that. Catfish you could put right on the grill. It was awesome. And I did. I learned to swim in Lake Okeechobee. It was born right there on the shore. Mm. Loved it.
Sounds like paradise.
Yeah.
Well, Little D, thanks a lot. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Great to hear from you. And our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to John, who's in Mango. John, you're on. We're talking about last night's CNN town hall.
Hello?
Hi, or John C. Is that right?
John C. It's okay.
Okay.
John C. I just wanted to comment to Sam about Trump doing so much for our climate. First of all, if DeSantis was doing anything, he would issue a national climate emergency. What's going on in Everglades is just horrible. He's lowering the emissions. We're not lowering emissions. I'm sorry. How would you say it? He's lowered the regulations on emissions. He's doing nothing for climate. If anything, he is like throwing it full ahead of speed. The train is just going and the time is ticking away. It makes me infuriated when people support him and say that he's doing so much for the climate.
Yeah, I think one of the things the governor's doing is he's advocating building another reservoir south of the Everglades, but that doesn't really clean up the slime that's, or not south of Lake Okeechobee, rather, and that doesn't really clean up the slime that's coming out of Lake Okeechobee. The way to clean up the slime is to cut the pollution sources that are flowing into the lake, and I haven't heard the governor, and I'm not saying that he has, but... I haven't heard the governor say that he wants to cut those pollution sources, and that would be to your point, John C., and also to Little D's point, that that's the way you clean up the Everglades, is you stop the pollution at its source, and the pollution is flowing into Lake Okeechobee and then into the Everglades, and yeah,
right,
that's our problem.
It's easier for the polluters to keep on polluting. I'm probably going to lose you in a few minutes anyway. I'm about to go into a dead zone.
Okay, well, John, go ahead. Make your last point.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that, you know, and Trump is not doing anything as far as climate goes. So the Sharpie King, you know, can just go and be a spokesperson for Sharpie, but get out of his office because he doesn't belong there.
All right, John C., thanks a lot. Drive safely. Thank you. And you're listening to 88.5 FM. Let's go to Deborah and Lutz. Deborah, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Great show, and I'm really listening anxiously to this show because, like many thousands of people yesterday who rushed home through rush hour to get home to watch the debate, we could not watch it because we are cord cutters that don't have cable. We have live streaming, and previously when CNN ran the debates, you could get on live streaming, and they have a thing called CNN Go that you could get on, but that was blocked. So none of us could find a way to watch the debates, which I think is very wrong. You shouldn't have to be somebody that can only somebody that can pay to watch the debates. If you want an informed electorate, this should be made available to every citizen, regardless of what platform you have to get your TV service on. Now, I understand that the next debate is going to be on ABC, so we'll get to listen. So I think you ought to do a show on cord cutters someday, Rob. But,
Deborah, I think that's a brilliant idea, and I promise I will. I am fascinated by how expensive cable TV is here in the Tampa Bay area and how cheap it is in a place where they have a municipally run distribution system up there in Chattanooga. Cable TV
that would be great.
Cable TV is twice as expensive down here as it is in Chattanooga, and it's an important issue. And thanks. Thanks for prompting me. I will do that.
Thanks so much.
All right.
I'll get off and listen to everything that I missed.
Thanks. All right. Let's listen to Julian Castro now. He was a member of President Obama's cabinet. He's running for president. This is one of his answers to a climate change question last night.
Reports warn that we only have 11 years to get off fossil fuels to have a safe, livable future. But as mayor of San Antonio, you welcome the fracking boom. Why should we trust you as president to transition our economy to renewables, given your past middle ground approach?
I appreciate the question from Scylla, and you know, I want to commend the Sunrise Movement. As you know, they've been pushing for a Democratic climate debate, which I hope happens. I'm glad that we're having this conversation today. First of all, she's right. When I was mayor of San Antonio, I did believe that there were opportunities to be had in fracking that was going on in South Texas. The thing is that back then, which was, you know, almost a decade ago, we had been saying that natural gas was a bridge fuel, right? We're coming to the end of the bridge. And my plan calls for moving toward clean, renewable, zero emission energy in the years to come. That's what I would focus on. A good example of that is that a few days ago, I was in Iowa, in Newton, Iowa, and I visited this company called TPI. Newton used to have a Maytag facility that made washing machines, manufactured them there, and then it closed. And TPI came in and they manufacture wind turbines. They put 750 jobs, decent paying jobs, put people back to work that had been out of work. In other words, this transition is already happening. Two of the fastest growing jobs in our country are a wind turbine service technician and solar panel installer. They're already growing tremendously. In Texas, in my home state of Texas, last month there was more energy generated from wind than from coal. Right? And today in Iowa, y'all can imagine, I mean, everybody's been spending quite a bit of time in Iowa. In Iowa, in 95 out of the 99 counties in that state, wind is already the cheapest source of energy. And in the other four, it's solar. So we've been working for years on this, and we're ready to make that transition.
So just to clarify on fracking, if you were president, would you ban fracking? Would you ban fossil fuel exports?
Look, I support local communities and states that want to ban fracking. Okay, I have not called for an immediate ban on fracking. What I am doing is moving us away from fracking and natural gas and investing in wind energy, solar energy, other renewables to get us to net zero by 2045.
So are you in favor of a carbon-free America? And if so, by when?
I am in favor of a carbon-free America. I believe that we can get to net zero by 2045 and that we can achieve in our electricity sector, for instance, relying on clean, renewable, and zero emissions energy by 2035.
Julian Castro last night on the CNN town hall debate, or town hall meeting rather, about climate change, former mayor of San Antonio. I'm going to read some of these emails that have come in. These are the first three or four. David writes, I didn't like the format last night. What's the reason the Dems have given not to have everyone on stage to debate climate change? What was offered last night was not a debate. Well, it was an endurance contest, really, David, to spend, I think it took 7 hours to get all the candidates through last night. It was a long, long event. I'm not sure why the Democrats won't have a debate in which all the candidates will be on stage talking about climate change and their approach to it. I don't have that answer in front of me. Sorry. Adam writes this. It's so telling that Trump supporters can't even name one thing he's done to combat climate change. You asked your caller, the Trump supporter, a simple question. Instead of saying, well, Trump has done this, he just started yelling and attacking liberals. Adam, thank you for your email. And then Kay says this. She says, Sam never did say what Trump is doing for climate change, which is, as far as I can see, nothing. I was waiting for an answer, writes Kay. Let's go back and hear some more of the candidates from last night. Here's Kamala Harris from California, and this is her answer to a question about climate change.
We knew moving towards a green economy for all is critical for our planet. As we make the transition from dirty diesel and coal, our industry workers, many of whom voted for Donald Trump in the last election, may fear losing their jobs, benefits, and ability to provide for their families.
Yeah.
How will you work across the aisle to support all workers and build trust with Republican constituents dependent on a fossil fuel economy?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, Michael. I think that, first of all, let me just tell you, I think about this issue through the lens of my baby nieces, who are 1.5 and 3 years old. And when I look at those babies and I think about what the world will be like in 20 years if we don't act, I'm really afraid. And as it relates to those Republicans in Congress where I've now been for 2.5 years, every one of those members needs to look at the babies, the grandbabies in their life, and then look in the mirror and ask themselves, why have they failed to act? Because on the issue of this climate crisis, I'm going to tell you, I strongly believe this is a fight against powerful interests. And leaders need to lead. So lead, follow, or get out the way. And get out the way starting with Donald Trump. So yeah, we need to work across the aisle. But I'm going to tell you, I've been there now 2 years and some months. I'm seeing no evidence of it. I kid you guys not. In our United States Congress, I was part of a committee hearing during which the underlying premise of the hearing was to debate whether science should be the basis of public policy. This on a matter that is about an existential threat to who we are as human beings. So again, back to the United States Congress, here's my point. If they fail to act as President of the United States, I am prepared to get rid of the filibuster to pass a Green New Deal.
Kamala Harris last night at the CNN town hall meeting on climate change. And again, if you want to comment about anything you've heard, we're talking about that town hall meeting. If you want to comment, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. Elio writes, thanks for letting your caller Sam from Valrico speak. He was a wonderful comedy relief to a rather busy day. I love it when I hear these low IQ people talk and say things that aren't even based on truth. I have to laugh. It's interesting. You ever notice that these so-called people all have the same accent, writes Elio. Elio, thank you for that. 813-239-9663. This person, Anonymous, says the really terrifying thing about people like your caller Sam is that on some level he knows he can't name even one thing that our president or governor or previous governor have done to help combat climate change, but he will still insist that they are doing things for climate change even though they very blatantly are doing nothing. Let's take a few more phone calls, and then we're going to hear Elizabeth Warren, and this is 88.5 FM. Let's go to Terry in Bradenton. Terry, what would you like to say?
How are you doing?
I'm good, Terry.
Okay. When I tuned in, there was talk about Lake Okeechobee, and that's going to be my topic. Some 35 years ago, a Florida country singer named John Anderson wrote a song about the consequences of what they were doing to the lake then. That song is called Seminole Wind.
Yeah, we play it a lot on M&F. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone should listen to that. Here's the other thing about the lake. It's really confusing. Maybe you can answer. Does the state of Florida own Lake Okeechobee, or does Florida Crystals own Lake Okeechobee?
I think it's under the protection of the state of Florida.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what we did in Ohio. I've been down 4 years. Ohio is a heavy industry / agricultural state, and we have our water problem. But most of the heavy industrials were in small towns and cities. And the EPA and the local city governments gave them a certain period of time to build and operate their own wastewater treatment plants. And what they ejected back to the city had to meet certain parts per million requirements to be accepted. Now, if Florida owns Lake Okeechobee, why can't we give Florida Crystals and maybe Moncrief a year and a half to build their own wastewater treatment plant? So that's about how long it takes. And to dig their own dam reservoir.
Yeah, you know, Terry, I think it's, you know, in fairness, I think it's a whole lot more complex about than that. I think what the sugar industry has done is basically used a recharge area for cleaning Everglades water and used it for growing sugar. I don't think there's much effluent from the sugar growing, but if you look at nearby septic tanks, if you look upstream to Orlando and the fertilizer runoff from the lawns, and if you look at things like cattle ranching, there are some good cattle ranchers, there are some bad cattle ranchers. Everything coming together, it includes sugar, but it also includes cattle ranching, includes septic tanks, it includes runoff from fertilizer. Those four main things are polluting Lake Okeechobee. And I've done shows about it. I probably should do another show because I think, Terry, you missed that show that I did about a year ago. So I will do another show about what causes pollution in Lake Okeechobee. But those four sources, it's not just sugar. We shouldn't give a pass to the cattle industry, to the fertilizer industry, or to the septic tank industry. And, you know, that if we clean up those four, Lake Okeechobee would come back big time.
Okay.
All right. All right. Terry, thanks a lot. All right. And we should do more shows about the Everglades. I think it's really important. I think Terry's right. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Let's go to John in Port Richey. John, what would you like to say?
Hey, thanks for the show, Rob. Observation on Sam. His verbiage that he used is a lot of the verbiage I hear from the conservative radio talk show host, especially Rush Limbaugh. He's always calling people wacko liberals. Socialism, I had a thought about that, too. The show before, they're talking about the water and Nestle taking the water out of the aquifer. That's capitalism versus socialism. Let that water have to be available to everybody. something else I was thinking about that maybe some people wouldn't really associate with socialism, but I would kind of put it under that category because it's government regulations. It's the government stepping in. Look at all the regulations that have that have helped out our society. Look at also, going back to capitalism, the brownfields. Companies coming in, polluting the place, and then leaving, and then letting the people clean it up. So the people are cleaning it up under the socialism part, where the companies are making money under the capitalist part. Final thing is go back and look at the 1900s. What kind of labor laws did we have? What kind of working environments did we have? What kind of working conditions were there? What kind of environmental issues were there? Children were in factories laboring in the 1900s because of capitalism. Socialism, government stepping in and regulating that, stopped that. So just a few things there. And what about the Great Depression? I had an argument with somebody that, government spending doesn't get us out of recessions. They were under the Hoover side. Let the businesses do it. And I said, well, what got us out of it? And he said, World War II. And I'm thinking to myself, that was a massive social program by the government building up the military.
Yeah, we invested a huge amount of money into factories to build tanks and airplanes for the war effort. John, thanks a lot. Thank you for that. 813-239-9663. Let's go back and listen to more of what the candidates said at last night's town hall on climate change. Here is Senator Elizabeth Warren.
The president announced plans to roll back energy-saving light bulbs, and he wants to reintroduce four different kinds, which I'm not going to burden you with, but one of them is the candle-shaped ones, and those are a favorite for a lot of people, by the way. But do you think that the government should be in the business of telling you what kind of light bulb you can have?
Oh, come on, give me a break. You know...
Is that a yes?
No, look, there are a lot of ways that we try to change our energy consumption and our pollution, and God bless all of those ways. Some of it is with light bulbs, some of it is on straws, some of it, dang, is on cheeseburgers, right? There are a lot of different pieces to this, and I get that people are trying to find the part that they can work on and what can they do in favor of that, and I'm going to help and I'm going to support. But understand, this is exactly what the fossil fuel industry hopes we're all talking about. That's what they want us to talk about. This is your problem. They want to be able to stir up a lot of controversy around your light bulbs, around your straws, and around your cheeseburgers. When 70% of the pollution, of the carbon that we're throwing into the air, comes from three industries, and we can set our targets and say by 2028, 2030, and 2035, no more. Think about that right there. Now, the other 30% we still got to work on. Oh, no, we don't stop at 70%. But the point is, that's where we need to focus. And why don't we focus there? It's corruption. It's these giant corporations that keep hiring the PR firms that does it. Everybody has fun with it, right? Gets it all out there. So we don't look at who's still making the big bucks off polluting our earth. And the time for that is past. We have a chance left in 2020 to turn this around. But we are running out of time on this one. So we've got to do this in 2020. And that means the first thing we've got to do is we've got to attack this corruption head on in Washington and say enough of having the oil industry, the fossil fuel industry, write all our laws in this area. No more.
Elizabeth Warren last night on CNN. So tell us what your favorite, which of the candidates so far that have you liked the best? Whose answers did you like the best and why? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address, if you want to send an email in, send it to dj@wmnf.org. Amin writes, it's your caller Sam and people like him that is what's wrong with this country, and not the Trump regime, because the Democrats or Republicans come and go, but zombies like your caller stick around, and it's contagious. And Amin writes, we are all doomed, writes Amin. Let's listen to another one of the candidates from last night. Here's Joe Biden, and this is what he said.
Should the U.S. ban fossil fuel exports, as some other candidates are calling for?
Well, I think we should, in fact, depending on what it is they're exporting for, what they're replacing. Everything is incremental. Everything is incremental. For example, you talked earlier about transportation. I've been pushing really hard for mass transit and for rail. We can take millions of vehicles off the road if we had high-speed rail. I've been a champion of that for the last 25 years. We know the corridors where we could do that. It would literally take millions of vehicles off the road. But you have to have a rail system that makes people say, if I get on that rail, I will get there as fast as I would have gotten had I driven. And I can afford to do it relative to the cost of my driving. There's a direct correlation. This is something I spent the bulk of my career on, trying to save Amtrak and a few other little things like transportation. But my point is that there are things that we can do now, that can begin to change the arc in a significant way. And as we, in fact, invest in the science and the technology and the changes that are available and will come to fruition, in fact, we can make it significantly better.
Will there be a point, or would you like there to be a point, and if so, when, that everybody drives an electric car or has to drive an electric car?
Well, I think, look, that's going to be based upon whether or not we can make it economically feasible. And it is economically feasible. Because guess what? Everybody knows where the world's going. You're not just like, you know, we set out the rules for what kind of plant, you know, coal burning plants. No one's going to build another coal burning. We've got to shut the ones down we have. But no one is going to build a new one. Guess what? They're not efficient relative to what else is available to be done. That's why people are going to move. And that's why it's going to create so many new jobs for us. We have to take combustion engine vehicles off the road as rapidly as we can. But that also can create a significant number of jobs and opportunities for people.
Joe Biden last night. We're going to hear another bit from Joe Biden in just a moment, but let's take a call or two. Let's go to George in Lakeland. George, you're on WMNF on 88.5 FM. What would you like to say, George?
Hey, yeah. Well, I didn't really get to catch all the candidates. I started with Biden up until, what's his name, Beto. And Beto, I got to scratch him off the list because he's not for the carbon tax. He wants to go with cap and trade. And that doesn't work. It can be game. People will cheat it. The industry will cheat it. I mean, because Europe is an example of how they can cheat the cap and trade system. So, yeah, he's off my list.
All right, George, thanks a lot. All right, thanks for your comments. Let's go to Francesco in Sarasota. Francesco, you're on WMNF.
Yeah, hi, Rob. I like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, mostly because I think that they've been talking about this for a long time and that, you know, they haven't come to this just recently. And I think, you know, I like their passion. I think and I think they're exactly right on things, except that I think that, like I think you mentioned, Imam there saying that we're doomed. I'm not quite that far gone, but I do say that if we put a guy like Trump in the White House, that something is seriously wrong with the country. And I just don't see, you know, it may be a minority, but it's a large minority, and it doesn't bode well. I mean, someone like him getting in there is just, it's actually surreal to me. I came from Queens, New York. I knew him growing up. I knew of him and actually worked with him at a couple of events. And it's surreal that he's president of the United States to me. That's the only word I can think of. And it's incredibly illuminating, I would say, about really what's going on in this country and the level of dumbing down and the level of the right-wing media that has obviously affected the whole tenor of the country, you know. So
All right. You're there.
Well, Francesco, I'm glad you're there. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
All right.
And Francesco mentioned Elizabeth Warren. We heard her just a few minutes ago. We are going to hear Bernie Sanders in about 5 minutes. But first, let's listen to another question that came up for Joe Biden last night. He was asked about a fundraiser that he was planning to attend. I think he was planning to attend a fundraising event tonight. And that stirred up a bit of controversy. Let's listen in on that.
Honeybees are one of the world's most important.
All right. Well, this is not what I intended, but we're going to hear Joe Biden in just a moment. We're playing some of the highlights of last night's town hall meeting with all the major Democratic candidates. This was on CNN, so it was unavailable for people that didn't have cable, but we're playing back some of the excerpts right now here on 88.5 FM. Let's see if we can tune into it right now. Here is Joe Biden answering
Senator
a tough
Biden,
question.
I'm 27 years old. Half of all greenhouse gas emissions ever generated by the entire history of human civilization have been released in my lifetime. This despite the now well-documented fact that 40 years ago, scientists at Exxon and Shell knew and reported to their bosses that burning fossil fuels was warming the planet and would destabilize the climate. Fossil fuel corporations, their executives, their trade and industry organizations, and their think tank front groups have waged a decades-long campaign of lying to the public about the science, and it has brought us to a crisis that threatens the entire human race. Now, I know that you signed the No Fossil Fuel Money Pledge, but I have to ask, how can we trust you to hold these corporations and executives accountable for their crimes against humanity when we know that tomorrow you are holding a high-dollar fundraiser hosted by Andrew Goldman, a fossil fuel executive?
He's not a fossil fuel executive. He is not a fossil fuel executive. And the fact of the matter is that what we talk about is, what are we going to do about those corporations? What have we done? And everywhere along the way, for example, I've argued and pushed for us suing those executives who are engaged in pollution, those companies who are engaged in pollution. I've never walked away from that. I've also been one of those people who, when I was chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, got involved in plans to be able to join people together in order to take on these corporate interests. When back in 1986, they entered one of the first climate plans that existed. PolitiFact said it was a game changer. I've been engaged in this from the beginning.
Let me just inform our audience about some of the details that Aaron was talking about, because I think it's important. I think a lot of people don't know about the studies that you cited. 2017, there was a Harvard study that examined both public and private communications from ExxonMobil. The study showed that for 40 years, while the company publicly were raising doubts about climate change and the dangers of it, internally, ExxonMobil scientists and executives were acknowledging the threat to the planet. There was a 2018, there was a Dutch news organization which uncovered internal communications from Royal Dutch Shell showing they understood the impacts of climate change and the company's contribution to it all the way back to the 80s. Let me just point out that in response to Harvard, Exxon said, our statements have been consistent with our understanding of climate science. Shell said, quote, its position on climate change has been a matter of public record for decades. We strongly support the Paris Agreement on climate change. But Isaac's question is, will you hold fossil fuel corporations and executives who've lied to the public accountable?
Yes, and by the way, just like we did the tobacco industry that lied to the public, just like we did the opioid industry.
So how do you do that?
Well, the way you do that is you try to change the law. You go after them, you try to change the law.
To his other question, though, about this fundraiser, there is a fundraiser tomorrow night. It's given by a guy named Andrew Goldman. He does hedge funds and stuff, but he also has a company called Western LNG, and their biggest project, which I think was announced in like 2018, is a floating liquefied facility for natural gas. It's off the coast of British Columbia, and it's going to provide Canadian gas to parts of Northern Asia. So what Andrew is saying is, if you're going to a fundraiser that's given in part by this guy who has a company that is pulling up natural gas, are you the right guy to go after these
people? Well, I didn't realize he does that. I was told, if you look at the SEC filings, he's not listed as one of those executives. That's what we look at, the SEC filings. Who are those executives? I've kept that pledge, period.
So is that, are you going to look at that fundraiser tomorrow night?
I'm going to look at what you just told me and find out if that's accurate, yes.
Andrew Goldman, the guy who's one of the co-sponsors of the fundraiser, he had a company called, he was a co-founder of a company called Western LNG. He currently doesn't have day-to-day responsibilities. So
what I was told by my staff is that he did not have any responsibility relating to the company. He was not on the board. He was not involved at all in the operation of the company at all. And but if that turns out to be true, then I will not in any way accept his help. But my point of the fact is that the point I was told by my staff, and we check every single contribution. That's why we don't send, we don't list them immediately. We go through every contribution to make sure that we are not accepting money from people we said we wouldn't or we shouldn't.
Joe Biden last night on CNN at the town hall meeting about climate change, and he was asked a question there, has he gone back on his promise to not accept money from the fossil fuel industry by holding this fundraiser tonight with Andrew Goldman. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Getting your take on this, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. In just a second, we'll hear, just a short time, we'll hear Bernie Sanders' answer to a question. Ron in West Tampa says, I've cut the cord too. All of us deserve to hear what the candidates say, not just cable customers. Hope you have the show on those who've cut the cord soon. Yeah, so that's another question. If there is, for all future debates, do you think that the producers should make the debates available to everyone in the country and not just people that subscribe to cable? I think the next debate is going to be on ABC, as one of our callers mentioned. So that is on free TV. But should all of the debates be available? If they're not available on free TV, should they all be available online too? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's listen to Bernie Sanders. Is his answer actually to two topics last night during the town hall meeting.
Senator Sanders, just today, the Trump administration announced plans to overturn requirements on energy-saving light bulbs. It's obviously a move that could increase greenhouse gas emissions. Would you reinstate those requirements as president?
Look, you know, it is...
I guess I should have asked, how fast would you reinstate those requirements?
It's fast. I've followed this issue of LED light bulbs and so forth, and there have been huge breakthroughs. I mean, you all know that we use a much less electricity, these light bulbs last a lot longer, and it is a major, major breakthrough. But that also speaks, Anderson, to the issue of energy efficiency. So it's not just moving to sustainable energies, it is also being much more efficient in terms of the energy that we use. So if you can get electricity from a light bulb that utilizes one-tenth of the power that an old incandescent light bulb used, of course you're going to do that. We are, in my view, not in my view, in the view of the scientists who have studied this issue the most, we are fighting for the survival of the planet Earth, our only planet. How is this not a major priority? It must be a major priority.
Let me ask you. Last month, you tweeted, Donald Trump believes climate change is a hoax. Donald Trump is an idiot. Do you feel...
Did I say that?
Well,
yeah, I did. You know, my wife thought it wasn't a good idea, but I said.
Well, let me ask you. There's obviously tens of millions of Americans who support Donald Trump and who believe him on climate change. Are they idiots?
No. Look, what you got, Donald Trump is the only president of the United States that we have. And when you have a president who has access to all of the scientific information, who can make a phone call and bring every bloody scientist in the world into his office in a few days' notice. When you have a president of the United States who rejects and turns his back on that science, you know, maybe it was a harsh word, but he's called me worse. So, yeah, I mean, I think it is just idiotic, if you like, that a president has that type of approach toward climate change. Forget the word idiot. It is so dangerous. It is dangerous. We are the most powerful country on Earth. We should be leading the world to a global energy transition, and you have a president who thinks it's not real. That is idiotic.
Bernie Sanders last night at the CNN town hall on climate change. You are listening to WMNF in Tampa. We're getting your response to what the candidates said. Dan in Seminole said, I didn't see them all, but of those I saw, Pete and Cory Booker impressed me the most. I think it was helpful to see more than sound bites, writes Dan. Dan, thank you for that. And I'll read a few more emails. The next email looks like it comes in from DeMarco. DeMarco says, President Trump is definitely doing something on climate change. He's making it worse. Another term for the Trump mob means Earth goes over the tipping point. End fascist capitalism now, writes DeMarco. And what's your take on this? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to David in Tampa. David, what's on your mind? Hi, David.
Hey, I want to respond to Biden's answer. It was kind of interesting that he said, well, I didn't know anything about that, and we just go by the filing.
The SEC's filings, more. Yeah.
Yeah, then he's pressed more, and suddenly he's like, look, my people told me they checked on that. Now the story's changed. Now he was aware of it, but he had them check it out. I think he's just lying. You know, I mean, you just look at the history. He doesn't have the history that, like, Sanders has. And Elizabeth Warren, you look at old videos of her as a professor. She's been talking about a lot of the economic stuff and everything. And I want to say Andrew Yang, I thought, gave very good conceptual answers and very detailed answers to kind of change the way we need to think about the environment and about how, although it might be costly, it's very costly to be putting all of our children at risk. So I really liked what he had to say. And I hope you guys get a chance to play some of his answers.
Okay. We're probably not going to be able to do it today, but David, thanks a lot. Thank you for that. We're almost out of time. Kevin writes this regarding the first caller today, Sam. He says, let's not pile on Sam for being a Trump voter. Isn't it better to point out the positive things that liberals have done to help people like Sam? Social Security, Medicare, unemployment insurance, workers' compensation, and the like. They're all liberal policies. Instead of beating up on them, let's try to help them see the light, writes Kevin. 813-239-9663. Suzanne writes, and earlier I asked who was your favorite candidate last night. If you got a chance maybe to listen to Democracy Now!'s coverage or heard CNN or watched CNN last night or heard some of our coverage today, who was your favorite candidate? And Suzanne writes, my favorite is still Bernie Sanders. Bernie was the only one when he was debating with Hillary that said that the biggest threat that we have is climate change. Everybody laughed at him. The Republicans said no ISIS. Bernie was right then. Bernie is still right. All the new progressives are running on everything that Bernie said years ago, writes Suzanne. So, Suzanne, thank you for that. Bill writes this. Who's your choice? Elizabeth Warren. Mature, intelligent, sensible, and a woman. Lord knows we've had enough men running things over the years, writes Bill. And then Liz writes this. She says, if Democrats put up Biden, let me just scroll down here. If Democrats put up Biden, we will hand Trump the presidency. Trump will pull out the Obama-Clinton arguments that his base just eats up. We are at a tipping point with human annihilation at risk due to nuclear war, climate crisis. We must be fearless and bold. No one is as consistent and relentless, to include the grassroots, as Bernie Sanders. As a former White House communications director said to the New York Times this weekend, the biggest divide in the Democratic Party is not between the left and the center. It's between those who believe once Trump is gone, things will go back to normal, and those that believe that our democracy is under threat that goes beyond Trump. I am of the latter argument, and that's why I support Bernie Sanders. That's Liz, who's in Spring Hill. And I'm reading these emails as they came in. This email, Bob in Largo says, Charlie Crist has a town hall meeting Saturday, September 7th. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Largo Community Center on Keene Road. So that's Bob in Largo sending that in. Okay, read that for you, Bob. And then 813-239-9663. Here's somebody anonymously says, good, hardworking people with Southern accents do have cable. Scumbags do not, writes Anonymous. And then Gary writes this, I am not on cable, and I missed the debate last night. I believe the debates should be on free TV. I'm in Bend, Oregon, writes Gary. Gary, thanks for listening all the way in Bend, Oregon. Well, if you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And we'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. The Surly Feminists for the Revolution are coming up on the next hour on the Midpoint program. I'm Rob Lori. This has been Radioactivity. Bill Grace is our phone producer today. This is WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota. We're going to go up to Washington, D.C. and get the latest news.
My baby tonight. I pitch the woo with my baby tonight. Her brother, you fight my baby tonight, cause it's too darn high. For his squad, a marine, for his queen, a GI.